You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy is Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Welcome to In the Conversation. We in the building today is your boy, El Profesor Vladimir Camaño.
And then your boy, Disco, Ali.
Ali's in the building, the guru,
the oracle,
the architect, no Ali doubt. Muhammad.
Sound all quiet today. What's going on?
We missing a core member here.
No doubt. D, doing some big shit.
Doing some big stuff with some HBO.
Yeah.
Hosting an event. So D had to go out there and get that paper.
No doubt. But we holding it down. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate y'all being here with us.
Yeah, stay in. Stay in the conversation. I don't leave because Ali and I are about to get busy on this talk.
Boy, why are you talking like a jazz radio show host?
It feels appropriate to the context.
No, sir. What's the context?
Gotta get your voice real juicy.
Nah, pause. Shit, motherfucker.
No homo.
Listen, man, it ain't even about that. That's just too inappropriate for the situation.
Do you? I don't use
take
no,
that shit to the
I
house.
I don't use no homo, Ali.
I mean, no real need to use it, but you know, that shit right there wasn't going to continue.
You feel like that's an age thing? Like it's like an age, like past a certain age, like you just don't need to use that no more.
No, I mean, it's definitely at a certain, if you're past a certain age, you weren't part of it when it came out. You know
right.
what I'm saying? When No Homo came about, you know what I mean? You weren't part of that vernacular.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you get beyond, you know, worrying about what a motherfucker think about what you just said.
And were you using it when you were coming up in Florida? Was that a term out there you had?
No. No Homo wasn't a term when I was young.
So then it just came up towards like the 90s, you think? Like 90s hip hop?
I guess. I mean, I didn't start hearing it till the 2000s when I moved to New York. So it might have been a
So outside of New York, you didn't hear it?
I didn't hear it till the 2000s when I moved to New York.
Because I didn't travel that much, you know, until like 04 or 05. So I started getting out of New York a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if that word, that term was used outside of the, you know.
Nah, I mean, you know, people were just way more vulgar about, you know what I'm saying? You know, saying what they was going to say. Like, y'all motherfuckers gay. You know.
I remember being in high school and people using the word pause. And I remember for the first week, I had to act like I was in on it. I didn't know what it meant.
You never in on it.
Someone said pause and I would just laugh like, oh, he said pause. And I'm like, I don't know what in the world.
What do you be paying attention to, man? You don't know none of the shit.
I said, what pause is? What is that? Is it a videotape? Like, what's going on? I don't know what the hell it was. Then I figured out later. I was like, oh, he's saying, you know. Pause was
stop what you're thinking.
It's like it's a stop what you're thinking, you know, objection, Your Honor.
No doubt.
So
what's happening in your world, man?
We got a lot going on, man. Been excited for this Avengers Part 2 coming out on Thursday, man. Mm-hmm. Super excited for that. I can't see it till Sunday, though, but.
Yeah, you got some surgery going on.
Got some surgery going on, man.
Tell the people about your, you know what I'm saying, your Ray Charles look.
I got my sunglasses on right now.
For the people on Daily Motion,
so
they can see that Vlad has on his Ray Charles glasses right now.
Unchain my heart.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me go my way. So to the people out there, I ended up getting, I got some LASIK surgery. Eye LASIK. I got eye LASIK, Ali.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys remember, a couple weeks back, Ali and I had a conversation about my glasses.
Mm-hmm. And the motherfucker told me, I like my glasses. I'm not going to get the surgery. That's part of my look. That's part of who I am.
Right. You can go back and actually, that's actually documented.
You can go back.
So long story short, after that night, I go home that night and I start researching LASIK surgery. And you can go back. I did say the glasses are part of my look. And I go back home that night and I start researching LASIK.
Mm-hmm.
And I find out they got a bladeless LASIK now, which means the whole thing is strictly all laser. They cut the cornea with the laser. They do the restructuring with the laser. And then they reflap you up and you're good to go.
No doubt.
And I found one of the best doctors in the city, researched him out, had an interview with him. He did a comprehensive exam to see if I was a good candidate.
Mm-hmm. You and D be about them doctors, interviewing them doctors.
Oh, we interviewed Dr. Dog. I'm good for that. What school did you go to? How long you been doing this? Any negative reviews? I'll go online and find reviews on the dude.
No doubt. I mean, as you should, you'd better do something, you know, something to your body, invasive.
And surgery was excellent, dude. Literally 12 minutes.
Damn. How much?
Well, that, you know.
Shit, I need in on that business.
Yeah, that's not good. You know, I don't know if you guys know out there, but I'm a huge frugal. I'm a frugal dude. So I always find ways to negotiate my situation.
I hope it worked out for you.
It definitely worked out for me. So I got, you know, I got 2015 vision.
That's the year it is, too.
2015 vision. And it's great, dude.
That's what's up. So now you can see all this bullshit going on.
I see all the bullshit going on, man. I've seen bullshit, and it's been sharper. I see no noise. I see it noiseless. There's no noise. No filter.
No doubt.
But my father's hilarious, man, through this whole process. So basically, I got to wear these shades for a week, right? Mm-hmm. And my father goes, in Spanish, he's like, yo, when you're done with this process, I'm taking your glasses. It's like, I like how they look. I was like, dude, for real? Like, this is what you're concerned about?
You see where you get that frugality from.
And this dude, man, he's super concerned. I get home last night. He's walking me, holding my hand, walking me to the house. I'm like, dude, I can see, actually. You don't need to. He's walking me down the hall.
I thought you said it was all fuzzy, like you were underwater.
It was a little underwater, but it wasn't like I was blind.
Don't disrespect the help, man.
And my father was like treating me like I was like an invalid at a geriatric hospice care.
And if he let your ass out there to walk on your own, you would have been mad.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. You know what I'm saying? It's like damned if you do, damned if you don't, right?
Exactly. Respect the help, man.
So shout out to my father, man. Definitely took care of me last night.
Son, he the reason why you here and you talking shit.
Goddamn right, taking that dude with the door open. By the way, I did some reflection on that dude with the door open, Ali.
Oh, man. Here we go.
I realized why my dad did it. I gave it some hard thought. I haven't confirmed with him, but here's what I think it is. My father's a working man. Construction, superintendent, paint, mm-hmm. plaster, mm-hmm. roaches. Crack era, 80s. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Hard body work. This isn't no lightweight stuff. Calluses mm-hmm. on your hands. Mm-hmm. Boots. Sweat. My father would come home. Nobody would thank him.
And they still don't.
They don't get no thank you.
You know what I'm saying? You get your LASIK surgery. You're blind. No, can't see. You're underwater.
So you come home. You know what? Nobody going to say thank you? I'm taking a doo-doo with the door open. That's what it was.
Nah, man. He took a shit with the door open because it was his house.
And he wanted you to know that.
And that's right. Yeah. He letting you know, this is my domain.
You're going to get this work.
Get in where you fit in.
You're going to get this work.
You don't like it? Move out.
Move out.
Pay bills. And as long as I'm paying these bills, busting my ass every day, I'm going to shit how I want to shit.
And that's why I got it now as I got older. I was like, I get it.
No doubt. You going to do the same shit?
Well, you know, if I have a family, I'm going to tell my kids, like, listen, if you don't want me taking a dude to the door open, I expect some gratitude around here.
Me, I can't do it. I'm closing the door. I'm locking it. I want peace. I don't want no interruptions.
When you were growing up, were there people coming into the bathroom while you were doing stuff in there?
No. I mean, they tried, but, you know, you lock it up. You know what I mean?
My father would bust the door
down. There was too many people, you know what I'm saying, coming and going every now and then. You know, yeah, you know. A lot of big family, so, you know, a lot of people coming and staying with us and stuff. So, you know, it was always a lot of traffic, but I think I figured out, you know what I'm saying, I stay outside most of the day, you know what I'm saying? So all the traffic, I had no concern. I'll stay outside all day and then come back in. And I do all my business when everybody was, you know, in their own lanes, eating, sleeping or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's the same way I am now. I'm up all night while everybody else sleep, you know, doing my business.
Across the board, you do your business in private, across the board.
No, I just do my, I do my tedious business in peace.
So bathroom stuff is tedious, it's a tedious act.
That's a private, personal act where you know what I'm saying? When you're in a house where there's a lot of people, right? You know what I'm saying? The bathroom, everybody understands that the bathroom is the only place where nobody is off limits. Nobody fucking with you.
Reflection.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, the bathroom is like if you go to my grandma's house, you know what I'm saying? My grandma's house had at least 13 people standing there at any given time. And then us on the weekend, so that's like 15. So, but it was never one bathroom, and I never remember an issue with the bathroom, with it being, you know what I'm saying, a problem with the bathroom. If somebody was in there, everybody knew. Okay.
Was it like a ticketing system? Or was it just knocking on the door?
It's just instinct, man. You just know, okay. Because when you in there, you know, okay, let me, you know what I mean?
Let me fall back.
Because, you know, back then, you know what I'm saying, especially if you were on the younger end of the spectrum, you know what I'm saying, you might have to, you know what I'm saying, take a shower with your cousin, you know what I'm saying? You 6, 7 years old, it's like, So when it's time for you to do your business, you know what I mean, everybody just let you alone, let you do it.
Now, let me ask you this, though. When you were, did you ever, I've done this before in my relationships.
What happened?
I've done this before in my relationships,
mm-hmm.
where you are just not in the right mood to deal with that particular person,
mm-hmm.
whether it be your girlfriend or your father, whoever it is. You ever do the fake poop? Like, I gotta use the bathroom.
Nah, the bathroom ain't the place to be hanging out. You know what I mean? I don't like to hang out in that motherfucker. I got my space. I got my office. I go to my office, my studio, and hang out. You know what I'm saying?
But what if you do if like say if like you and I like, you know, we were roommates. And we boys, we love each other, everything's good.
Two bathrooms.
Well, let's say we got one bathroom, right? it doesn't matter how many bathrooms, but say if like
grown man ain't got no roommates.
Right.
Pause.
But say you had a long day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here I go, we hanging out, and I go, yo, you gotta hear what happened to me today. And you like, oh God, here he go. I don't wanna hear this story right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say, I would do something like, yo, I gotta use the bathroom real quick to give me give me the strength I need to get through this story that I don't want to hear.
Nah, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
You don't do that? I don't do that, man.
If I'm in my own space, in my zone, everybody know it. Because if I'm not, I'm mad social. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm in my zone, everybody pretty much know, okay. You know what I'm saying? Even like my kids, if I'm working on something and I need all focus, everybody kind of know, you know what I mean? And they, you know, like I said, when you grow up around a lot of people, you know things instinctively how to find your own space within a big group. And, you know what I'm saying, I exercise that, you know what I'm saying, at all times.
Do you archive material for the bathroom?
No, man. We talked about this, man.
I archive.
Y'all have phones. Y'all have your phones.
No. But I'm at the point now. This is how sophisticated my game is, Ali. I got an app called Pocket, and with Pocket, you could forward articles and stuff like that too. And it keeps a record for you offline.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my little bathroom list. So I'm gonna read that when I go to the bathroom. I got a little bathroom archive that I got. I just tap it, and I got my material ready to.
So you got like boudoir sessions.
Boudoir sessions in there, man. Boudoir.
And I'm in and out, man. I got my own space and go to my studio and, you know what I'm saying, do what I do. You know what I'm saying? Because that, you know, what I do, you know what I'm saying, gives me, you know, my solace. And if I'm not doing that, then shit, I'm around the people I enjoy. So that's what I do. I try to keep it that way. You don't see me around too many people. And the people I'm around, I enjoy them.
I mean, I guess that's the best solution.
You know what I'm saying? Even like I say, you just have to figure out how to find your space within chaos. You know what I'm saying?
The bathroom's a funny place for me because I remember on the train going to Westchester, I would sneak into the bathroom to avoid paying the ticket. You ever do that, Ali, going to Westchester? I would sneak in the bathroom.
I don't go to Westchester.
Oh, you don't do Westchester at all? I would sneak in the bathroom and I would wait for the ticket guy to pass by and I'd be like, is he gone yet? I mean, I would smell like Aqua de Metro North. But, you know, I definitely would avoid that ticket price. That was a little technique I had. Shout out to the bathroom on the Metro North.
Yeah. I think Puffy used to do that.
For real?
Yeah, back in the day before the internet, you know what I'm saying, you had to read. Like, if you're trying to get into the entertainment industry or whatever, you had to read your way in or be connected. But if you weren't in New York, you couldn't be connected, so you had to figure out how to understand what was going on and who was who. And at the time when Puff was an A&R dude, he used to write a column for a magazine called BRE, which was Black Radio Exclusive. So it was a radio magazine. And he would write a column every week, like, you know what I'm saying? Which was impressive because he had a big job. He was the youngest dude in the game with the big job. And he would write this column, basically giving you information.
You serious?
Yeah. And so when he would talk about how he would get on, how he got on, he would talk about being at Howard and then leaving on Thursday to catch the train, to sneak on the train to get back to New York. So I think that was one of his techniques.
And he would use the bathroom.
I think that was one of his techniques. He would hide out until the conductor passed.
I knew there was something about that behavior that tied me into the greats. You know what I mean? There's something about that behavior.
Except he was going to do some business. What he was going to Westchester
for? I'm trying to get to business. You know what I mean? The other thing, this is funny. This is a Jay Leno story. Jay Leno, I think it was Jay Leno. He would, after his sets at the Comedy Store, he said he would sneak into the bathroom to hear what people said about the show. So he'd be in the store and they'd be like, you know, how was the show? They'd be like, oh, I thought that one guy was funny or that guy stunk. So the bathroom store.
Literally.
Literally, yeah. So you'd be in the bathroom and he would get the authentic reviews from people because they would talk in the bathroom in a way they wouldn't talk outside.
Right, right, right. So the bathroom is your place of solace.
Man, it's this information. It's the internet before the internet.
You know what I'm saying? I think your dad led the way with that.
You know what's funny, man? You got to connect the dots. Sometimes you don't realize.
Peace, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe he's a sage. Maybe he was trying to give me something I didn't realize at the time.
I told you last time. You know what I'm saying? He was on his throne. He was the king on his throne.
I think he was foreshadowing.
And you picked it up and didn't even know it.
He's on a Great Gatsby level in terms of the literature he's putting out. Mm-hmm. Brother's deep, man. Brother's deep.
Go sit on your throne, Vlad.
Speaking of the throne, man, you don't watch Game of Thrones, do you?
No.
Oh, I was going to get into a conversation about that. It's been good.
Yeah, you talked about it last week.
Yeah, I talked about it last week. I like Game of Thrones.
Thank you. I think you're addicted.
I'm addicted, man. I'm addicted. But I was watching this thing. I wanted to ask you about this because you got sons. Chris Rock was on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the internet. It got a lot of views. He did this whole thing about how black people are literally leaving baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Statistics are like abysmal.
And why did he say? Because I think it was a reason.
I think the way he initiated the conversation was he talked about the last World Series, how both teams literally had no black athletes.
But why did he say that was?
He was saying because baseball is like slow, like it doesn't appeal to the times. And that's what I thought he said. I could be wrong. Did you watch that? I didn't.
Mm-mm. I saw some headlines about it, but I didn't read that particular one. But the headlines pretty much alluded that he made some, you know, brilliant observation of why that is. Because it couldn't have been just that it was no black people in baseball. Because, I mean, we could see that with our own eyes.
Yeah, but I got to recall it. But he was basically saying that it's not, what the hell did he say? Well, I guess what I wanted to ask you was, do your kids have any interest in baseball? Or when you go to your school and hang out with you see other kids, in terms of, you know, you being a black father, you see, like, any interest in baseball with the kids you?
Man, I see, actually, just today, a good friend of mine, Rob Hardy, you know what I'm saying, his sons play baseball. And his youngest son hit his first hit in T-ball. Over the weekend. So I just saw that today. So I thought that was interesting because both of his sons play and they're heavily into it. My wife's brother, my brother-in-law, his son plays on the same team. So, you know what I'm saying? They're very into it in Atlanta. I think, you know.
Also, you're thinking maybe geographical too.
You know, I mean, geographically, you know what I'm saying? New York doesn't have a whole lot of baseball fields in, you know what I'm saying, the urban concentrated areas. So every neighborhood has basketball court.
Correct.
Every block.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's the same in Miami. Every neighborhood has a park with a football field. So football, you have access to it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure, you know, why baseball. I was never into baseball. So I couldn't pitch in on why kids are not interested right now. But I mean, globally, kids are interested. I mean, you got the black guys from the DR and Cuba. They're very into it. So, I mean.
Because there was 2 points Brian Gumbel made that I thought was interesting. One was he's like the greatest black baseball players,
mm-hmm.
Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds. He noticed a trend with all of them. They all had a father that brought him into the game.
Right.
And he said that across the board, you'd find that with a lot of the black athletes in the Major League Baseball.
So he's saying the lack of fathers is,
you know, correlation. That was, you know, I guess no father, you end up going to other sports.
But, well, I had to look that up.
Yeah, it was an interesting clip. Check that out.
Let's look that up and we'll discuss on the Facebooks.
Another episode of Black Fathers.
You know what I'm saying? Black Fathers Unite.
But
did you see the black mother in Baltimore?
Man, Baltimore is an interesting situation right now. But go ahead.
You know, the mother who, you know, her son was out there riding and she basically drug his ass off the front lines and told him to go home and, you know, hit him a couple of times upside the head. And she was out there doing her job, you know.
Right.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, the youth there, you know what I mean? People are mad, you know what I mean, in general. And it's easy to, you know, get mad and get into it, you know what I'm saying? But then as a parent, you know, you don't want no harm to come to your child, and then you don't want your child to be a part of something that you may not agree with how it's playing out. So, you know, she was caught on the news, you know what I'm saying? Just as a, you know, passing, You know what I'm saying? In the chaos, within the chaos, this mother coming in, dragging her son. You know, he's masked up, you know what I mean? Telling him to take the mask off and get the fuck from around here. You know what I mean? So it was a moment, you know what I mean?
Do you think that was the best way to deal with that moment?
For if that's the way that she felt, then yeah, it's the best. She's the parent, you know what I'm saying? She knows her kid, you know what I mean? She knows what's best, you know what I'm saying? Better than I know what's best, you know what I mean? So for me, I'm sitting at home in Brooklyn watching the news, you know what I'm saying? So I can't, how am I to say what was best for her and her family?
Because you know the news is funny because they put it out there knowing how it's going to be,
Actually, it was a passing thing, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it wasn't like they focused
on
it.
No, it wasn't. They didn't focus on it until somebody
pointed
it out. So the first time I saw it, somebody like screenshotted it from the TV as a passing thing that happened. And then the news actually put out their own clip of just that isolated without any other sound. And you know, they're running with it. I guess they clickbaiting, you know.
Correct.
Making sure they capitalize on the views.
I guess with the Baltimore thing, I wanted to talk about, I'm conflicted, man, because there's different sides to this conversation. A lot of people are saying that everybody should go home and be nonviolent and stop burning stuff down and stop destroying stuff. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, it's like you empathize with the level of with the level of anger that's out there.
It's like my man in I can't pronounce his name because I only see it. I haven't heard it said. Like, I think it's Ta-Nehisi Coates.
He wrote Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Ta-Nehisi Coates. So I never heard that said ever in life.
But I think Ta-Nehisi Coates is also a good dude. You know,
Ta-Nehisi,
yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? His point was, you know, how you expect to say, hey, you know, let's deal with this in a nonviolent manner to a situation that was such a violent manner. You know what I mean? So, you know, at the end of the day, man, you know, when you take a city like Baltimore, any of these cities, you know what I mean, where crime is already a problem.
Correct.
Where you know, economics is already a problem. Where, you know, they're basically gutting it economically, you know what I'm saying, and resource-wise, and the jobs have left, then what's left is, you know, people surviving. And then you get a situation where it is inflamed and it is a violent situation. You get kids who are dealing with these same police every day. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this kid is coming from this set of projects in Baltimore, and all of these kids are dealing with the same thing that he is. I had a friend, Zakai Free, a couple of years ago. He's very zen. He went and lived in the jungle for like 4 years, and he came back and he was teaching breathing with a course called Art of Living, and then he was doing it on his own, just consulting. And one of his consultant jobs was going into the juvenile prisons and teaching them stress relief, you know what I'm saying, through breathing, you know what I'm saying. And he was just, you know, he would always just tell me all the stories of what these kids are going through as kids, you know what I'm saying, which is a lot more than I've been through in my lifetime, you understand, as far as just dealing with what's going on in the streets of Baltimore, you know. And so when you get it, a situation where it's boiling over, of course you're going to have, you know what I'm saying, the wild side. But as a lot of people point out, the news, they didn't even really jump on the protest until it became wild.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? They did, and as in Ferguson, and as every time we talk about this, which seems like it's every 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying? There's always more peaceful protesters than there are.
But they don't come down. Right. So
when you get the helicopter view of one block and 100 kids wilding the fuck out, you know what I'm saying? And they keep repeating that visual. That's what you see. You know what I'm saying? You don't see the entire picture. So, you know what I'm saying? Yes, you would have mothers who are going to go out there and get their kids off the front line. Yes, if I lived in Baltimore, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't want my son, you know what I'm saying, on the front line, because he's not on the front line every day. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know what I mean? If we lived in the heart of the situation, it may be a whole nother, I may feel a whole nother way about being out there myself, you know? So, you know, everybody has their way. And sometimes people are pushed to the brink of their way. And then that's when all hell breaks loose. Your brink is probably a little further along than somebody else who's catching hell every day. You know what I'm saying? And in some cases don't even have nothing else to lose. So you get this and you get that segment. Then, but you also get a segment of gangbangers who are trying to stop it.
Yeah, you know that was also part. Yeah.
You got the mothers who are trying to stop it. You have
the preachers and
the preachers and the politicians. You know what I'm saying? Then the celebrities, they do their way in. You know what I mean? But at the same time, everybody has their right to express themselves. And some people are going to take it way too far. And some people are not going to do nothing at all. So if you're going to talk about the kids who take it way too far, I think you should be talking about the people who do nothing at all.
Silence. No, I just think I get it. You know, I get the everybody saying don't burn the CVS down. But a part of me is like, I understand the you hit a tipping point.
Yeah, CVS got insurance.
They got insurance. but I don't know, man. I think, like, you know, Obama spoke on it today. He said a few words about it. And there's a small part of me that's like, it's kind of productive to do that in some respects, but in other respects, like, yeah, but this is like, you hit a point.
Right. It's counterproductive in which way? In that you won't have CVS to go to?
CVS to go to, you know, but that's like, it's like, just, dude, like.
And then they might not rebuild, and it might not come back. Now you don't have a CVS. That's what it is.
And I'm curious to see what's going to happen, man. Like, you know, I mean, like you said, it's like every 2 weeks we're having this conversation. I think something has to happen systematically with the police force, man. Like, something has to change.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't understand. You know, I don't understand what it is. I don't understand, you know, why now so much. You know what I mean? Why is it increasing instead of decreasing? You know what I mean? Why is the conversation moving so far along? Why was Baltimore seemed like it was almost provoked into it? You know what I'm saying? They've been hollering Baltimore since the police got shot in New York. You know what I'm saying? Supposedly that was some strange Baltimore connection
that came up
with the gangbanger from Baltimore drove hours past the all kind of precincts to come to New York to take revenge in New York. You know what I'm saying? So it was, you know, that whole Baltimore alert. And now, you know what I'm saying, they take a situation with a guy who had done who knows what, nothing at this point, and they turn it into a situation, you know? And it is a situation now. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it's almost like a, you know what I mean, it's almost like an injustice tour.
The injustice tour.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we gonna go city to city and set this motherfucker off until the whole shit implodes.
So we'll see what happens, man. Hopefully, get some kind of change with this to come around. But yeah, man, what else is going on, Lee?
Man, that's it, man. I'm mad.
But I ain't stressed.
I ain't stressing.
Young Kendrick Lamar, dude.
I mean, you know. Going back to Miami for Trayvon Martin's mother event, you know what I'm saying? Which is, you know, kind of like a, you know, where.
When is that?
I really can't say.
Okay.
But it's happening.
It's happening.
You know what I'm saying? It's happening, but, you know, it's not out there. It's not a public
event. Yeah, yeah,
it's just, you know what I mean? It's a thing where, you know, it's like almost like a healing. So, you know, we document that. So, you know what I'm saying? After doing that last year, you know, you really get to see it. You know, for us, you know what I'm saying, sometimes, and we talked about this last night. I was shooting with, you know, with some friends last night. And you're talking about sometimes, you know, you disconnected from it. You know what I mean? You see it, you know what I'm saying, a guy gets beat up by the police and he ends up dead. You know what I'm saying? People in his community uprise and then it dies down. And it didn't affect you all the way. You know what I'm saying? You see it, you it's another, you know what I'm saying? It's another fucked up situation, but then it goes and then it's the next thing. But at the same time, these, you know, that family has to live with that forever. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, you know, Eric Garner had a wife and kids and a mother. You know what I mean? So it's like what Trayvon Martin's mother is doing is bringing those mothers together. And then you could really see, you know what I'm saying, how it's impacting not just us as a community or a country, but, you know, individuals, families, and communities. You know what I'm saying? Because these individuals are people in their community that people, you know what I'm saying, they understand and they feel because they're from these places and they deal with these things. And you know what I'm saying? It just shows you how much further along it goes and how deep it goes beyond just the news story and the headline and the talking heads who talk about it for the time that they're talking about it until the next thing comes up. To the Mayweather fight, you know what I'm saying? Saturday, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we should get a little break.
And then to the playoff, then it'll be the finals, you know what I'm saying? So we'll talk about it then, you know, the next thing will happen, and then we'll be back on the Injustice Tour.
And it's funny because, like, you know, it's like, I remember growing up in the crack era, and it was like the cops had, I remember growing up like early 90s, mm-hmm. and the police had they almost had like justifiable reason because it was a crack infested environment. They would say, oh, it's a crack area. This is what these guys do.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like their arguments have no basis anymore. Like it's clearly.
Right. And I mean, if you live through the crack area, you know, if you lived in a major urban area, even small towns, you know what I'm saying? A lot of small towns became infested and the rules were totally different. But I think they used that particular era, that, you know, 10 years to set up what we have now. And
right,
then,
that's what I was trying to
hear. And they're going to use this, what we have now, to, you know, they're already bringing tanks in, you know what I'm saying? So from the crack era, you know, it was way wilder than it is now.
It was
the Wild Wild West. You know what I'm saying? Way wilder, way more, you know what I'm saying, murders and, you know what I mean? And it's like now they just, you know, they're using that to say, hey, we don't want it to be like that, so we're going to over-enforce like this. You know what I'm saying? And which is crazy.
Because I was watching the news in terms of their arguments, and I was like, they're still living in that context.
Right, because that's the context that set up the laws that we have now. You understand? That stand your ground shit, what George Zimmerman got off on, was a direct correlation to the 90s Jack era during the crack era. You know what I'm saying? When cats was just robbing everything. You know what I'm saying? Cats who wasn't selling drugs, the cats who were robbing, they were, you know, they were buck wild and they were robbing everything and everybody. And then they killed some tourists from the UK and the laws changed. You know what I'm saying? That's where you get these laws we have today. You know what I'm saying? The crack era, when they banned the AK and all of that, you know what I'm saying? The three strikes, all of that shit, and the Rockefeller laws, all of that shit came from the war on drugs. You know what I mean? That they only enforced in, you know what I'm saying, certain places. So now those same places are under siege, basically, from an old-ass cold war.
Yeah, and it's not like that no more.
Exactly. It's just like us being in Iraq, you know what I mean, where shit, you already done shut shit down. Saddam Hussein is dead than a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? But you still there holding shit down, you know what I'm saying? You still there with your military holding that shit down. And that's what they're doing in our neighborhoods.
And I think it's just funny to me. Like, I feel like it's getting to a point now because the crack era is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's still drug usage and there's still drug situation. But it's getting to a point now where, like,
where's the meth war?
Right.
Go ahead.
But to your point, I feel like because these arguments are dying down, I think it's the conversation is shifting to, like, the reason these neighborhoods are the way they are is because of this policy changes that need to be made.
Exactly.
On the education front, on the housing front, on the healthcare front. Like, it's like those excuses don't work anymore.
Right. I mean, you're right. If you take healthcare, if you take all that other shit off the table and you just say, hey, let's overdo education and underdo, you know what I'm saying?
Police enforcement.
Enforcement of, you know what I'm saying? Criminal enforcement of students. If you just took that approach, you know what I'm saying? Then you will have a different situation. You have a totally different situation.
And I'm praying that I think it's heading in that direction.
Nah, not yet.
You don't think so?
Nah, not yet. Yeah, that's gonna be by force. They not gonna just fucking do that. They make a lot of money doing the shit that they do. Y'all go tell these police cars, taxpayers gonna buy some new ones. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We not gonna leave war alone because that shit make money, man. That shit make jobs. Just no jobs in your neighborhood because we need you. So we can have jobs.
It's the underclass.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody don't go to Iraq and say, why did y'all fucking burn down your CVS and shit? We burned the shit down because the motherfuckers was occupying that shit. Our neighborhoods are occupied, man.
It's just funny, man. You see people's Facebook posts on some of this stuff, man. Facebook reveals a lot of people, like where your friends stand on.
Well, you know, everybody's reacting based off of where they at, you know what I'm saying, where they feel. And all of us, most of us, not all of us, because some people, they go to the front lines, some people are on the front lines. But most of us was at work all day, came home, looked at some shit, and just reacted. You know what I'm saying? It was some people saying, you know what I'm saying, you know, it's a shame that mother went up there and that boy, he has no respect for her because he pushed her. You know what I'm saying? You in the heat of a motherfucking moment.
You in the bathroom right now.
You know what I'm saying? You in the heat of a moment. They're in the heat of the moment. You know what I'm saying? You sitting on your throne.
In the bathroom.
Ah, look at this. And then you swipe. Swipe next one. You know what I'm saying? And then it's a like, and then it's a comment.
Do you defriend somebody when they put us up that you don't
like? No, because, I mean, people have their own opinion. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the, you know what I mean? I don't use Facebook in that manner where everything is personal to me. That shit is, you know what I mean? It is what it is. It's social media. I don't go in the streets and get mad at how everybody feel. Why am I going on Facebook and get mad at how some motherfucker feel about whatever? You know what I'm saying? I just know what it is. I just know that it's not real. You know what I'm saying? I just know that people are saying what they feel like. You know what I'm saying? It's the right thing to say in that moment. I don't take that shit personally because it's not personal. I'm not on there in a personal manner. You know what I mean? I'm home in a personal manner. You know what I'm saying? If my wife says some crazy shit, I'd be like, hey. Then I feel some kind of way. And then we'll have a discussion, and we'll get to the bottom of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Facebook, okay, that's how they feel. All right.
What kills me is like how people use, and I don't know if they do it intentionally. This is how I perceive it. I don't like when people use a social cause for thirst trapping.
No doubt.
So there'll be something like, you know, it's so sad what's happening in Baltimore. Just sitting on this train, wish I didn't have to be on the subway going to work. And I'm like, just get off that subway and head down to Baltimore if you feel that bad about it.
They don't feel bad. I mean, they got to go to work. Man, they own shit to take care of. But you know, you could feel bad and go to work. You could feel some kind of way and not be on the front line.
Yes, I feel where you're coming from. I too did not want to get on the subway.
No doubt. But you know what I'm saying? We all have something that we see that we feel a certain kind of way about that we don't jump and stop our situation to do. You know what I'm saying? That don't mean that it's our feelings are less valid. You know, but thirst trapping in the other way, I feel more. I trip out more on, you know what I'm saying, the pundits or, you know what I'm saying, the people of notoriety that always got a motherfucking open letter and a motherfucking, you know what I'm saying? So all this, you know, open letter to somebody who they could have just wrote the letter to, you know what I mean? And did some shit.
As opposed to writing directly to the person.
Yeah, instead of doing some shit, you writing an open letter for, you know, for likes and fucking.
Thirst trapping.
Yeah, they, you know what I'm saying? I don't like that rather than somebody who, you know, in the middle of their life and, you know what I'm saying, you know, they caught up in their situation. There's some people whose jobs are to just talk on these issues and just talk and just talk and just talk and get your opinion and get your rage. And that's what they do. You know what I'm saying? Every issue, whether it's Baltimore this week or Chris Brown's rehabilitation the next, you know what I'm saying? oh, Chris Brown should, you know, should just stay in the rehab. This is an open letter to Chris Brown. Then next week, motherfucker got an open letter to the mayor of Baltimore.
First trap.
Just looking for some, you know what I'm saying? Looking for a way in. Looking to be a part of the conversation.
I mean, the other thing that's been on the conversation this week is Bruce Jenner.
I'll leave Bruce alone, man.
Leave Bruce alone.
Brucetta. Did he say what his name was going to be?
I don't think he did. Did he say what his name was going to be, Chris?
No,
he didn't.
Brucetta for now.
He didn't.
He actually hasn't even said whether he wants to be referred to as a woman yet. He said he is a woman, but he hasn't given a name or... So it's still Bruce Jenner.
My thing is, if he
Let's
gives
call
a,
him Pat.
If he gives a name, though, if he gives a name, is that then subscribing to gender norms? You see what I'm saying, Chris?
Like if he changes his name to Julie or something?
Yeah, because then he it's almost like he's subscribing against what he's trying to...
What is he trying to get across?
Well, that you know, his identity is his identity. He owns his identity.
Right.
So why should I have to change my name because society...
And,
you see what I'm
saying?
And
he probably doesn't. It's just us as society.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just us as society. We, you know, we're just watching it. We're watching the process, you know? So...
Did you watch the interview? I saw clips. I just saw clips.
Not I mean, I'm not into the story. I mean, I see it, and I'm, you know, you don't have to watch the detailed interview to see what's going on because you know your timeline gives you all the ins and outs.
But it's just amazing how social media has, I guess, empowered this story because I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of Bruce Jenners before Bruce Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
But because he came out of time with the social media and the Facebook, like you can clearly see the support. It's documented. You got the clicks. You got the comments. And it's like he's able to have this conversation in a way where I think it actually makes a significant impact.
Well, I mean that. But at the same time, he's also riding a wave of people who are on the front lines
absolutely,
of that movement.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who have already been having this conversation and building the conversation up. And, you know, you could say, you know, he is coming in on an existing conversation. He's coming in almost at a convenient time. You know what I'm saying? So even if you look at, you know what I'm saying, not to trivialize it or anything like that, because it's out there, it's been out there, and people been going through it. But then, you know, say if you look at like the show Transparent that's on Amazon, it's his. That's the story that Bruce is riding on, is that story, which was, you know, been out for down there a year. You know what I mean? But, of course, he's been going through it. It's his personal thing, and he has a lot of attention. But it wasn't like he came out of the blue and on some – he's blazing the trail by himself. It's been people on the front lines beating the trail down. You know what I'm saying? And he's – I mean, you know, I have friends who are on that trail. You understand? That are creating new, you know what I'm saying, new ways of living and thinking on their own without, you know what I'm saying, some social norm or some, you know what I'm saying, some oversaturated thought. You know what I mean? They have to come up with their own thoughts because it's no pattern, it's no path yet. You understand? So if you are going through that already, you know what I'm saying, I could see where it may take away from the movement, but I'm not in it, so I'm not on the front line, so I can't say, and I don't know.
It's just I was watching, and I was like, "This his timing is perfect. Mm-hmm. His timing is perfect in terms of everything that's going on with it, you know, just in that aspect of progressive movement in the country.
Mm-hmm.
His timing is impeccable, and then the way it landed on social media was like it was perfect.
I mean, you're talking about a family who is the master of social media, the master of this modern communication. Like they've turned their lives into the brand new tabloid way. They are pioneers in that. And I think once it's all said and done, Kris Kardashian and her clan, they're gonna go down, you know what I'm saying, in infamy or in fame, knowing that they recreated the way celebrity was and what celebrity was. You know what I'm saying? They created a whole, you talking about beating down a path, Kris Jenner, they beat down a path. You know what I'm saying? As far as being talked about and being noticed and understanding the business of being noticed and being famous. And outside of not famous for anything in particular, except for being famous. Like, They wrote the manual on that shit.
They're writing it as we speak.
You know,
yeah,
they're writing the manual. You know what I'm saying? I think at the end of the day, when you look back, you know what I'm saying? Look back 50 years from now, they will hold a special place in whatever by, you know what I'm saying, doing their business the way they're doing it. So this ain't new for Chris. This ain't new for Bruce.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Bruce been, you know what I'm saying, a beneficiary of the whole movement. He's been sitting right there. Who's to know that he wasn't one of the masterminds? Like, look, Chris,
this is what we need to be doing.
Right. You know what I'm saying? He didn't just transition and didn't show up. He a little bit at a time.
He didn't just transition and just.
Nah, he. You
know no, saying? No, but the pun was there. Just
yeah. He's doing it in front of the cameras. He's doing it for y'all. He's doing they doing it for business too, which, like I said, could take away from somebody who actually has to, you know what I mean, beat the trail down.
Right. Because I think even now, like in terms of, you know, it's just like, you know, like it's just like. Let me ask you this. I think social media is at a point now where, like, if you go against, like, a Bruce Jenner type, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get hit hard on the social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's amazing how, like, with the social media piece, like, they can actually jump on the opposite side of the movement and just hit it hard. Like, you're being ignorant.
But that's any, like, if you go hard any direction, there's always an opposing direction. That's the thing about the internet. It gives everybody their voice. And yes, you go hard against Beyonce, her fans are gonna go against you.
Jump right on you.
You go against Rihanna, her fans are gonna jump right on it. You go against Chris Brown, he got fans. You know what I'm saying? It's everybody got their own little social media armies. You got Black Twitter, you got the conservative Twitter, you got, you know what I mean? So everybody got their points of views and opinions, and everybody want their opinions heard. And you jump out there, you know what I mean? Yeah, you gotta know that.
So I mean, I mean, you know, it's just it was good to see though, the way everything
with Bruce.
Yeah,
no doubt.
It was good to see that, because I remember going to college, man. And it was like such a, when I was in college, you know, they had this whole thing about unisex bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Like they hated the fact that it was like two separate bathrooms, and that was a huge thing on campus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my point was like my point of contention was the fact that the women's bathroom is always bigger than the men's.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we need to do something about that.
So you can have room.
Yeah, so that was my thing.
Sit on your throne.
I was like, you know what?
You can hide out.
So I jumped in the conversation for different reasons. Like most people were jumping in because, and we're back to bathroom again. I don't know why this is the point of conversation.
That's your kingdom.
But I remember being in college and everyone's upset. They were like, oh, you know, it's an identity. Who's to tell me what my gender is?
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna jump with y'all because I want bigger bathrooms for the men. So if we can both get a bigger bathroom, I'm with this transgender movement.
No doubt.
Because one time I snuck into the women's bathroom by accident.
Mm-hmm.
I want nobody getting
that sounds them. Creepy.
I know it does.
You by accident.
It was finals. It was finals week, and I had to get to the bathroom, and I ran.
And you snuck in. Why'd you have to sneak?
And I walk in the bathroom, and I'm like, "This big as hell up in here."
Mm-hmm.
The female bathroom in the library at Wesleyan had a sitting station. You could sit and wait for one of the stalls to open up. Mm-hmm. In the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it hit me. I was like, you know, I'm about this bathroom movement. We're gonna get these neutral bathrooms. We can all have biggest spaces.
And then know what's going to happen to you?
What?
You're going to be standing in that long-ass line that the women have to stand in when it's time to go to the bathroom.
Yo, women's bathroom lines are like Rite Aid pharmacies.
You know what I'm saying? It's like being at the airport going through the little, you know what I'm saying, pre-screen line while everybody else standing in line. Hey.
In that case.
I don't want to stand in that line.
In that case, you're right. Maybe we should have separate bathrooms. Maybe gender bathrooms should be separate because women's lines are the worst.
I'm not, you know, for or against, but I do appreciate the male privilege when it comes to not having a line to go to the bathroom.
It is a TSA pre-check at the men's bathroom line.
You know what I'm saying? It's a male privilege that most of us probably don't pay attention to, but the women, they definitely see it when they
dog
standing all the way down the way to go to the bathroom.
I was with my mom at the mall on Saturday. I think it was Saturday. We went to the mall, and she was resisting going to the bathroom because of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to the point where she had to wait, but you could see the pissed offness.
That shit fucked up.
On her face of that damn long-ass line, man.
That shit is messed up, man.
And as people are walking out of the bathroom, my mother looks at them like with just disdain. Like they're the reason why the line is so long. Like everybody's walking out, she's like, ugh.
Motherfucking taking all
that time.
luxuriating like you in a boudoir with Vlad. You and Vlad do the same shit at home.
In the boudoir.
In the boudoir. Fucking around. He's not even doing shit. He's just hiding out. Don't want to talk.
This is the bathroom episode, as a matter of fact, man.
The fuck?
But yeah, that woman's line is ridiculous, dog.
So yeah, so don't be so quick to jump in a movement because you don't know what side is.
What side is going which way and whatnot.
And I didn't even know that was a movement.
Oh, it was a huge thing at Wesleyan, dog. They were chalking the floors.
The bathroom, you heard of that? The bathroom is a movement?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've heard it in like high schools and stuff where, yeah, kids are fighting to, you know, be if they're transgender, whatever, yeah.
Oh, I mean, if you're transgender, but...
Oh, no, but unisex bathrooms, yeah, it's like it's a whole, the gender thing is a thing, yeah, for sure.
Let me ask you this, Ali.
I mean, for me, you know what I'm saying? I have a daughter. Sometimes I'm out with my daughter and she's little and she has to go to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? Which means I have to take her to the men's bathroom because, you know, I can't go in the women's bathroom. And, of course, the line's too long.
So, so you got to take her to
so that. So I whisk her in the,
express checkout.
In the men's bathroom. But then, you know, there's always the chance that somebody's slinging their Johnson around and... You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have to, you know, protect her eyes. You know what I'm saying?
You got to get that vision.
So, you know, shit, man. Let's keep it separate
for
now.
Let me ask you this.
Let her get grown and make her own decisions.
You want to make sure she
going over to the bathroom, you know what I'm saying? Whatever happens is in there, just look away.
Don't see no outside Johnsons.
Yeah, no eye contact. You see a Johnson, look at the floor or something.
Let me ask you this, though. Two questions for you. One is, there was a UFC fighter. It was a mixed martial arts fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Transgendered woman.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, she used to be a man.
Right.
Became a woman.
That's what you said, right?
Kicking
ass. I mean, I'm... Theoretically, you said
kicking
it right.
Ass in mm-hmm. the women's mixed martial arts department.
Right.
The fiasco was you shouldn't be fighting in this tournament because you have a male disposition.
And a male body, basically.
So then now my question to us to talk about is, like, is there validity to that? Because we want to celebrate gender, you get to pick your identity, but then if you're competing with women who don't have the same bone structure...
Yeah, I mean, it's always, you know, send some technicalities here and there.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, you want to talk about the gender equality stuff. You know what I'm saying? But that particular shit, if she was a strong-ass man and now she a strong-ass woman whooping ass, you know what I'm saying? The question is, you know what I'm saying, did she really do it to be a woman or did she do it
to kick some ass?
To come up.
Get that sponsor.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know. But, you know, you can't put the whole movement on that one lady.
You know, we want to be gender blind, right? You want to be gender blind.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like a certain scenarios where you have to be gender particular. You have to acknowledge gender.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with race and ethnicity. Sometimes people want to be colorblind. But then there's certain scenarios where you have to acknowledge race and ethnicity.
I mean, every day you come out the house.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to be acknowledged.
So... You know, it comes a point where you got to say, hey, listen, man, you used to be a man here. I don't think it applies. I don't know.
Yeah, you know. Hey.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? You gotta, hey, it's the world we live in, whether they give rules to it or not. You know what I'm saying? These are things you're going to be dealing with. You know what I'm saying? You're going to come across it.
The point of the conversation is don't let your daughter see other Johnsons.
That ain't the point of the conversation because my daughter's not going to be seeing no Johnsons, man.
Goddamn right.
So that don't make that the point.
That's not the point at all. No, Johnson.
Point is, you know what I'm saying, you want to stand in line with the women in the bathroom.
No, I want to stand in the, I'm fighting for separate bathrooms because I don't like the long lines. But I do want bigger bathrooms for the men, though. We're going to fight on that.
Yeah.
So are we going to leave on that, Ali?
Yeah, we'll leave the boudoir.
We'll
leave Vlad's boudoir of conversation.
So, Ali, where you at, man? What's going on? Where you at this week?
I'm going to be in Vegas.
That's right. You're shooting content for the...
Yeah, we'd be out there doing some money team content and shit and things and having fun trying to.
I will be at the Stand Comedy Club tonight and Thursday. And then there's a slight chance I may be out in L.A. this coming week. So I'll be at spots up there, maybe
West
at the
side,
the improv and stuff like that. But I'll put those up on my website, laughingvlad.com. Shout out to Mr. Lemon doing his thing out there, and follow us online.
Shout out to everybody listening and commenting. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate you.
We yeah, we do, man. Subscribe, iTunes, SoundCloud, Instagram. We out there, man. Check us out.
Peace.